DavidRenicky.com, love the website, love the man even better. And it's after Easter, Dave. You 100%, mate, or you still feeling the pinch?
Good morning, Mr. Bilko. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm actually, we've had a good Easter, a great Easter. And usually the Rellos drop in, or you drop in on them, but we've had our lot and they've all gone home. I'm here alone talking to you. So. Yeah.
Well, we're not totally alone. Hopefully millions are listening elsewhere, but we won't know that till later. Yeah. Tell us about a star that's interested us for a long time, Proxima Centauri. We've now, have they found a planet in what they call the habitable zone? What does that mean?
Not a surprise, this one. The closest star to us is Alpha Centauri. It's easily visible in the sky. It's the same range, heat range as ours, about the same age and about the same size. Alpha Centauri is an interesting little star. It's a place that's reachable within a human lifespan if we can just get our technology to get us to fly a little bit faster. But it's fascinated us for a long time now. 10 years ago, astronomers found a ring of rocky material circling it, and we believe they may have been, or may have been, an asteroid belt or the flotsam and jetsam left over from the making of a planet.
Yeah.
So at one stage, Alpha Centauri may have had planets, but our big surprise has been the third companion. When you look at Alpha Centauri, and these are the two stars that point to the cross called the pointers, the bottom one is Alpha Centauri. Through a telescope, even a low-power one, they'll split into two stars. They're actually two stars that rotate around each other. It's a binary system. It's something like where Luke Skywalker may have woken up on a planet around, and you'd see two suns in the sky. But hang on, there's a third companion there. And that third companion is the one we're talking about called Proxima Centauri.
Yeah.
Proxima is Latin for close. Every now and then this star becomes closer than the Alpha system. So it rotates around the other two, or with the other two. And if you're on a world in this system, or in this star system, you would have three stars in the sky, three suns in the sky.
Wow.
Three sunsets, three sunrises, yeah. It may even be eternal daylight, we don't know. But we've just recently found what looks like an Earth-like planet, or an Earth-sized planet, around Proxima Centauri. An old star, a dying star, a dead star, if you will. An M-type star, very common. Just enough heat in it to glow to be able to pick up. Now, you might think, that's no damn. Well, look, it may not be close. It may not resemble our star, but the planet we're looking at is very close to that star. So there still may be heat available on that planet. There could be life there. It may have been life in the past. We don't know.
The key is there's got to be some sort of warmth. There's got to be some sort of light. And as far as we know, that's what life needs to respond to.
And water, too. We've got to have that component.
Yeah.
So it needs a little bit more investigation, but it would seem that Alpha Centauri, the system itself, the triple star system, Alpha Centauri is shaping up to be a very interesting place. And I think the first thing we'll find when we go there will be what?
Fossils.
The remains of the Robinson family.
Ah, of course.
Yeah.
David, how could I forget Lost in Space?
They're Lost in Space.
Yeah, okay. Even the old Netflix series, which didn't impress me too much. I don't think they're renewing that, but anyway, it was all right.
But that was the star they were headed for anyway, Alpha Centauri.
This is interesting to me too on DaveRenicky.com. A Chinese Mars base opens for students. What's this?
Good story. This is showing you, or Mars is showing the world, how they're making progress to catch up to the other superpowers. The United States has been the leader in space. Russia, China, India. India are in there too, as well as China now.
Yeah.
China have always had a burgeoning space. Well, not always, but in modern times, they've been rebuilding and building their space station. They've had astronauts in space there. They put their own people up in space. Now they're catching up in a way that we've never ever thought of before. They're prepping for a Mars landing. And this tells you that China are either A, ready to go for themselves and go for broke and put a red astronaut on the red planet, or they're working in concert with the Russians, or maybe somebody else.
Oh, I have no doubt the technology's there. They just need the right personnel.
So what they're going to need a crew as well. So they've created what's called a Mars-based simulator. Only now, this time, right now, they've got a group of people going into it. It's in the Gobi Desert. This is not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. China's Gobi Desert is where they've installed and built a Mars Base 1. Now, the aim is to get teens to be exposed to living on another world. It's like going to an open house. you know, or a display house, if you will.
Yeah.
It's not in the suburb that you're going to live in, and it's not quite the neighbours you want, or the style of house that you want to buy. But it's close to what you're looking for, and it's workable. So this is what they're doing. These are going to be young people who are graduates in science somewhere, or have some, funny, yen to go there, and what they're going to do, they're going to live there. And they've got 9 modules, in other words, 9 separate rooms, including their living control room, living quarters, greenhouse where they can grow potatoes the right way, and an airlock they can go in and out of to stimulate being on another world.
That reference, of course, from the Mars movie from a couple of years
back. It's pretty much similar to what you saw in the movie The Martian. Now, $7.5 million is the cost for it. It's been borne by, get this, the Astronaut Center of China and the Chinese International Communications Center.
Yeah, see, they're serious, David. They're serious about this.
China is serious, right? Yeah, watch this space.
Yeah, well, watch davidrenicki.com. The website's got more information. Now, this is a very encompassing question, David, and we could talk about it for hours, but you've got a great article on here about why haven't we met any other forms of life yet? And that's what everyone says, oh, if there's aliens, why don't we see them knocking on, you know, Parliament House door, you know, trying to give thumbs up to ScoMo or, you know, or Trump? But when you look at those two leaders, maybe they're showing intelligence by keeping away.
It shows us, you know, side. Excuse me. It shows us something that we don't normally think about or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's our attitude. How arrogant are we to consider that we're so important to be contacted by somebody else? Look, just because we haven't been contacted doesn't mean nobody's there. Lack of evidence is not evidence of lack, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Now, many, many years ago, decades ago, a group of scientists were sitting around a table, and one of them was Enrico Fermi. Fermi was one of the scientists who in the 50s worked on the makeup of the atom, and we measure the distance between atomic particles by using the Fermi distance. But Fermi is, you know, sciences or physics comparison to Einstein, but a lot of other people with him too, and they were talking about this very thing. Why haven't we been contacted? Where are there people out there? What's going on? We've been trying and trying and trying. this may have been in the 60s when they started SETI up. And anyway, one of the people in the group asked that question. Fermi turned around and postulated the idea for a moment, stuck his thumb up and said, I think I have the answer. He said, where is everybody? That's the question we should ask. Where is everybody? Are we still using that type of theorem today? Because we haven't been contacted, where is everybody? What makes us so important, though? We're in a boondocked part of the galaxy. We're way out on the edge of our own galaxy. The more close you get to the centre, the more stars there are, the more chance there is of meeting people. It's like being in the country, having an isolated homestead way out in the back of the middle of Australia. Now, your nearest neighbour is 100k away or something. Yeah. You're not going to run into people on the road, but get closer to a main city and there's a lot of congestion. So if you're going to look for planets around other stars, nobody would be shooting towards us. Mm. They'd be looking closer towards the centre like we are.
They'd run into us as more of an accident than anything
by accident.
Else.
Or we'd pick them up somehow. The point is this, Sim, the assumption is that there's a lot of civilizations out there. Statistics is a very, very interesting study. Statistics is the study of things and how they happen and any random selection involved. How does statistics tell us about how we can run our society better? They help us in a lot of ways. And statistics also tell us that there's a huge number of stars out there and that the possibility of other worlds is incredibly high if you use statistics. Even if you took 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of a quarter of a percent of stars in our galaxy, you're still coming up with many, many hundreds and hundreds of other possible worlds. It's a matter of being in the right place at the right time, listening for the right signal, having the equipment to do it. We may have been contacted in the past by a civilization, but we never had the technology to do it. Anyway,
we need to send out like hundreds of thousands of ships into the center of the galaxy on treks, so to speak, as in Star Trek, and that's how you'd run into these civilizations. But, you know, sending out a probe here or there, it's going to be missed. So
the paradox with that one is simply this. If you did that, it's going to take X amount of hundreds or thousands of years to reach them.
Yeah.
Now, if that does arrive, it's like a message in a bottle. You know, this guy's stranded in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, throws him a note out. Now, he's waiting for a reply to come back. The chances of that happening and landing on his beach can be very, very remote. That's the same sort of odds we've got with SETI. So we're looking at the same sort of scenario there. I think it'll happen one day. We've just got to be patient. But if we did get a, if we did send probes out there, if it took hundreds or thousands of years to do that, in a fraction of that time, we'll have the capability of travelling there anyway. Mm. We'll get there way before these things ever arrived. And we'll say, look, we sent a probe out a long time, and there it is out there. It's got another 1,000 years. See, there's a paradox here. It's one that we can't get over. Sending a signal that's going to do the same thing. How long is it going to take to get to where it's going? And if it does, it might take hundreds of thousands of years to get the signal back here.
Yeah.
What we're, our best shot is to do what we're doing now, listen in the universe for a signal that we make and assume is made by a constructed device. You know. Anyway, we're going way over time. I guess I've taken a lot of time.
We just don't live long enough. We as a human being, I mean, our lives, you know, 4 score and 10 or whatever it is, that in the terms of the universe, it isn't enough. We're a blink of an eye, not even that, you know.
It is a blink of an eye. It's a funny, good, interesting way to look at this whole thing about where we are on planet Earth. If you've got a calendar, I like to do this in our talk.
Yeah.
Get a calendar and on the first day of January, a certain year, let's say any year. Now, the 1st of January is when the universe was created. If you go right through to, you know, June or July, that's when the universe cooled down. That's when planets started forming. Around August, September, worlds started to create, the life started to be created on other worlds and waterfalls and gosh knows what else. Then around the end of September, early November, galaxies formed together, you know, stars were created more and more. And what this is all getting to is when you show people this idea, you get to December 31 and you get to 2 minutes to the to midnight on December 31. That's when we came along.
Ah, compress those billions of years into a calendar year. Like it just goes to show how insignificant we are, you know. So,
well, it does.
We haven't made an impression on the universe, and we probably never will. So.
No. Anyway, it's a big open question, but I think you'll agree with me, Bilko, that if the day did come when we got that signal and we did know that it came from a contrived device, a mechanical device, it was a signal, a real message from another, from extraterrestrials, I guess, it would probably be, possibly be the greatest story in history.
Oh, it would be awesome. Anyway, more at davidrenicki.com. And I know we've talked about this before, David. One final thing. You're an expert when it comes to telescopes and gazing in the night sky. You've got a way of gazing at that night sky a lot cheaper than going out and buying yourself a brand new telescope.
Yeah, this is a rentoscope. We started a new arm of our astronomy group here. We've got brand new telescopes we're renting out to people. And we rent them out for $50 a week. And we give you tuition before. Yeah, if they pick them up, we give them a rundown. They all come complete with books, and there's a couple of DVDs to read. There's eyepieces. Everything's there. Brand new scope. It's a good idea. We're just starting it off now. And I don't think anyone else is doing this sort of thing.
No. So you dip your toe in before you make the financial investment.
Right. Yeah. You know, if you're going on a camping trip, take it with you and have a poke around the night sky. So anyone in Queensland is coming down this way near me. I'm on the mid-north coast of New South Wales, near Port Macquarie, in a place called Warhope. Coming down this way, keep it in mind.
All right, David. Mate, have yourself a great week. Remember Anzac Day for our fallen, and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you then.